All right, well, I am very excited to share with you all today some of what God's been doing over in Tanzania, the work that we've been privileged to share in there. And you have to forgive me, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare this, the pictures aren't quite in the order I would like them, but I've got a lot to show you and a lot to share. I'll try not to go too long here or to bore you. This is just a little of what we have experienced there in Tanzania. All right, I just wanted to show you how we get around. All right, this is our motorcycle. We call it a piki piki in Swahili. And this is how I do most of my traveling around in the bush. It's just a lot of scrubland, and the trails can be pretty rough. And I travel out into the bush, meeting with our different stations that we've been teaching. It's mostly our cattle people, the ones we've been reaching out to. There's three different tribes, and I'll be sharing more about that. We travel. My furthest point is about half an hour by motorcycle, and that is quite a rough trail. And so thank you all for this gift of this motorcycle. Without it, I couldn't be reaching around like I am. This is what the bush looks like. Where we can, we take our three-wheeled guta, as we call it, we like to go out as a family whenever possible. There's a community of Taturu people in Chamsoga, which is it's kind of a sub-village of a next-door village, which takes us about half an hour to 45 minutes, we enjoy doing that as a family. We have to cross dry riverbeds during dry season. During rainy season, sometimes these will fill up, and that is a little more of an adventure. But the family usually, when we cross the river, they usually like to get down and walk over. We've occasionally had tips where we've actually tipped the thing over, but I've gotten more used to it, and we don't have so many incidents like that. Usually it puts our girls asleep coming back, and they just, the rocking motion and the bumps. Sorry I didn't turn that, but this is kind of how you look after a drive in the dusty dry season. It also helps us haul stuff. This is our moving day when we were moving from Tim's house to our new place. And my girls like to play on it. Sometimes we have tires go flat, but it's pretty easy to change. And I thought it might be interesting for you to see some of our critters. This is an unwelcome visitor. It's a black mamba, one of the most venomous snakes in Africa. They are also one of the most aggressive. But thankfully, this one wasn't very aggressive that day. It came onto the porch as the children were playing. There's a dozen or so children out on the porch. Came right through the midst of them. Didn't act aggressive or anything. Just went right through their midst and out the other side. And we chased it down and killed it. But praise the Lord for His protection. Here's a baby cobra eating a gecko. We watched it until it had swallowed the whole thing. And then we had to do away with it. And here's maybe the mama cobra that came into the house one day. You probably heard about that one from Tabby. Tabby was helped a lot in getting rid of the thing. This was in the main house. Tabby and I and Matthew Miller, one of our teachers, were in the house together, and it just came slithering in like it owned the place, and went into a back room here, started climbing up the wall, and we were able to pin it and kill it there. Sarah, with a dead snake that I'm not sure who killed that one. Was that you, Zach? Yeah, it was while I was away on a trip. And so Sarah sent me this picture. And how many of you sisters would be brave enough to hold a snake like that? Even if it was dead. But Sarah was very brave. And she even, one day, she excitedly announced to me that she had killed her first snake. And I came over and looked at it. It wiggled like a snake. It had the shape of a snake, but it actually was a legless lizard. So I had to share that disappointing news to my wife. We don't have many of these we saw. We've seen just a couple of them, so don't have to be too scared to come visit us. We do have a lot of these, though. They are harmless, but they are very frightening. We call them zoomies. Their scientific name is Solifugi, which basically means scared of the sun. And that's how they act. They run from shadow to shadow. And they're as fast as a mouse. And about as big as a mouse. And they look very terrifying. But yes, it's dead. But they have no fear of it. My girl's scorpion carrier. Yeah, something like that. I think that's... we also have barn owls there, which are a very welcome... very welcome guest as they kill off the rats and the snakes. So this was one that had been injured. I think some boys were throwing rocks at it and hit its wing. And so Kayla actually nursed it back to health. And we always had a few barn owls around our place. The locals are very superstitious about them, though. And so they'll kill one whenever they get a chance. But we were trying to teach them, no, these are good. These really keep the pests down. Little baby hedgehog. Baby turtle. This is called a Janet, I believe.
Mommy! Did you like holding the monkey? Vicky, do you like calling the little monkey?
I'm shaking down.
Vicky, what's his real name? What's his name, Vicky? Can you say it loud?
Charlie!
Charlie. He was a beloved pet of Matthew Miller, and the girls loved holding him whenever they got the chance. And, of course, they loved interacting with the goats and the sheep and our ducks. I enjoyed eating them. And this was the result of some critters that came into our house. We have all our stuff. We brought all our stuff out of our houses. And we got a big 55-gallon drum boiling water. And we dipped all our clothing, dipped all our pillows, blankets, everything. All because of this little guy here. Bed bugs. We had them twice, but we finally got rid of them by the Lord's grace, and I'm sure you all, I think you all were praying for us. And so I'd like to introduce you to our house, our new house. Here's when we were breaking the ground for the foundation. This is probably the second day of our work there. And I have Mangola and Elisha working on the crew that day. Here we've dug a lot of the foundation. Here we're mixing cement. We did everything by hand. I don't know how many tons of concrete we mixed, but it was quite a few. And here we have our foundation done, and we're starting the walls there. And here we're ready to pour our first pad. And here's our outhouse pit. There we've got our pad built and starting to raise the walls on top of it. This is my fundi, we call them fundis. Anyone who's a skilled worker, we call a fundi. Whether it be a brick mason like he is, or a carpenter, or a mechanic, they're all fundis. So this is my house building fundi. His name is Peter. There we got three of the houses raised. And there we are building our water tower. Up there at the top, you can see Josh Ebersole from Georgia. He was one of our English teachers that came over, and he was a concrete expert. So he helped a lot in pouring our pads, and here he's forming up for the pad that holds the water tank. Here's some of the inside of the house. Here's my good little helpers helping Daddy clean before we move in. Hello, everyone. I made a quick trip back to Ivuna to look at our house and make sure everything was okay and to greet some friends. So I just wanted to take the time to show you all the beautiful house that many of you gave to have for us to have a nice home. This is the front of the house, and I'm just going to give you a quick tour. This front building here is what's going to be our public living room and kitchen and dining area. Here we have this over to my right here. It's going to be our living room. And it's just one big long open room, and here's where we're going to have our dining area, and at the end will be our kitchen area. Right now it's full of... Yeah, it's just full of scraps of lumber and whatnot. And here's the door to our inner courtyard.
And we have a very nice wraparound porch here. The girls love riding their scooter around and around. This building here is our what's going to be our guest room and school room. Here's what's going to be our school room right now. We have a young man who's going to be staying in these two rooms to watch over our place. And here he is right here, Basilio. Say hi, Bazzi.
Hi.
So coming out of our school room, the next room down here is our pantry, food storage and other storage space. I have a shelf over here, and I have a rat-proof box that is very essential to keep all your grains and stuff away from the rats. And here I have our solar setup, our electrical box here, controls our lights and charging stations. And coming over here, this is our bedroom house here. This is coming into the house here. This is going to be our private living room area where we can just have special times as family. We're going to have some couches in here to relax with our girls and read books and whatnot, unwind for the day. And here's Sarah and I's bedroom. Have a lot of most of our stuff in totes right now. And the nicest feature about this room is we have a beautiful view out our bedroom window. Right now it's kind of overgrown with grasses, but you can really have a nice view of the river down there. And this is the girls' bedroom. It's the biggest room in this house. They have plenty of space to play. We have stored some tables and chairs in here. Have a bunk bed there. Window out to the courtyard. Yeah. So coming out of our bedroom house, we have, here's our water tower, which is fed from the village solar pump setup that Tim installed. And here's what we call our bafu, which would be the shower area. And coming out of the shower, right next to the shower area is our cho, our latrine. And then over here is the garage. Right now it's full of odds and ends. And here's our guta, our three-wheeler rig.
All right, so that's our new house. Thank you all so much for all the support. Right now, a big prayer of ours is that the Lord would keep it for us. Seems like it's hanging in the balance a little bit. The government is hard up for housing for their teachers and officials there in Ivuna, and they would love if we would hand it over or lend it to them, which would be rather difficult to be able to come back to it. So we're trusting the Lord. Things are uncertain, but I think the Lord has a good planned for that place. It was kind of a conflict in my heart as I was building it. Pretty much from August to December was working on it full time, and wasn't able to do the ministry that I would have liked to in going out and teaching in the bush. But one thing that the Lord did provide was an opportunity to disciple Mangola, which was one of my main disciples there. And he was, if you saw the first picture there where we're digging the foundation, he was there from day one, day in and day out. We worked side by side, and he taught me so much about their culture. And I was able to share so much with him, just from daily experiences, things that would not come up really in our formal times of teaching. And so I just really thank the Lord for that. Our relationship grew and deepened, and we feel like brothers. And he is, he's a dear man, and I appreciate him greatly. I'd like to show you some of our neighbors there in Ivuna. While our focus, our vision, our thrust is not to the immediate area in the village there, the Lord does provide many opportunities of reaching out to our neighbors in Ivuna. For those of you who don't know, we feel our calling is to reach out to the semi-nomadic people, the cattle herding people that live out in the bush. There's three main tribes that have a very similar lifestyle, although their languages are very different and their culture is a little bit different. Their lifestyles are very much the same, and they are very unreached. They don't live in villages. They live scattered throughout the bush, and that's who we are. We feel like the Lord wants us to reach out to. However, we do have, you know, we rub shoulders every day with our neighbors. The children love to come over and play. We have set play times. And Sarah many times will teach a Bible lesson after their play time is over, and teach them songs. And so we have, whenever Sarah can do that, we have anywhere from 5 or 6 to 20 children come in and play. And that's under supervision. But they really enjoy that and are coming to know some of the Bible and the love of God through this. And so that's one of the ministries that Sarah is blessed to be a part of. This is a good friend of ours, Sophia. She helps with some of the housework, and she is one of the new sisters in the church. Shortly before leaving, she came to the Lord, and she is a good friend of Sarah's also. And this is Limilata, one of Sarah's adopted daughters, if you will. She helped Limilata through a very difficult time. She had tuberculosis, and before that, she was struggling as a little baby. Her mother didn't have a real good supply of milk, so Sarah helped out with nursing. This is another dear neighbor of ours, Bibi Masa. We've had a lot of opportunities to reach out to her. This is Maria. She's a little deaf girl that enjoys coming every day and spending time with us. Kayla, our house helper, she had a real heart for Maria and was actually helping her learn how to talk. And she actually succeeded in getting her to say Mama and Baba, which means father. If she had a lot more time to spend with her, she could have made pretty good progress, I think. But there's really no one to reach out to these needy children, these handicapped, such as blind or deaf. They have no programs. They have no real sign language that they can learn. And even if they did learn it, there would be nobody to communicate with. And so she communicates with her family. They have a few, you know, basic signs. But, yeah, we'd love to see Maria get some help. And she can hear a tiny bit, if a really loud, high-pitched noise she can hear. And so one of our dreams is to get her to where she can get an implant, which might restore some of her hearing. This is Nkona. He's my little buddy. He's got Down syndrome, and he's the sweetest little guy. He doesn't have a mom. She died a few years ago, and his father has disowned him, and so he lives with his aunt, but doesn't get a lot of good care. So he just loves to be around us. And he shows up every morning and looking for his daily handout of a snack. Some of the ladies, this is Trudy Schmidt and Becca Oberholzer. They are doing a very good work with the ladies there in the village, having Bible studies and teaching the gospel. They've had a real impact on the ladies there. And these are some of the children at our new place. They love playing in the sandbox. And this is a group of ladies that we are been getting to know. Some of the surrounding neighbors at our new place seem to really have a hunger for the Word of God. It started off with a few just begging Sarah to sit down with them and teach them the Bible, and this is probably fifth time, but it kept growing and growing and growing, so that's something that Sarah was able to do in the home there. And I'd like to introduce you to our Elisha. He is our good helper. After Kayla left, he kind of took over her responsibilities of helping Sarah in the kitchen. But he also would go with me on my preaching excursions. And he was nice to have along. Here he is in the kitchen. Learning how to make new foods. He had a real tender spot for Vicky, and he was her best friend, and they missed each other a lot. One time we took Elisha out to town with us, and this is his first taste of ice cream. He took a bite and just started laughing and laughing and started rolling on the ground, and he just couldn't believe how good it was. He's a real crack up. He can get everybody laughing. And he also is a very hard worker. He helped me a lot in building the house. Although he did have his times to crash. Here he is just taking a nap on the job. And here he is helping sort rice. And there it looks like Sarah tired him out that time. All right, I'd like to introduce you to our people. Currently, we don't have any teaching points with the Maasai tribe, but they are in our area, and I think... yeah, we're praying that the Lord will... Yeah, Becca actually has had the most interaction with the Maasai in our area, and these would be some of the Maasai ladies. Very unreached also in our area and also throughout Tanzania. They are very a very proud people. They love their culture. They have a very different, unique language than the surrounding tribes. That's because they came down from the Ethiopia area down into Tanzania, and they actually have some customs that seem to have come from the Israelites. I don't have time to go into that, but they and the Taturu would be a related tribes. These are our Sukuma people. The Sukuma are actually the largest tribe in Tanzania, with around 5,000 people. 5 million people, sorry. 5 million people. But it's been very hard to reach them with the gospel. And the ones in our area, very, very few of them have come to believe. And it's not because that they're very resistant, although they do very much value their culture. A lot of them still dress traditionally. They wear these black or blue cloaks, and they love to wear bangles and around their feet and wrists and elbows, and they really like to deck themselves out. But they are very friendly people, very outgoing, very much very frank and open. Just they say what they think, and very very hardworking people. Our dear Sukuma. Here they're eating a piece of fruit from a palm tree. They're also most of them are very tall and very well built. Yes, Amosi is part of this tribe. Which Amosi, I'll talk more about him in a little bit here. This is a picture of Sukuma hospitality. Whenever they have a guest, they love to make a feast, and they'll slaughter a goat and make mounds of rice, and it's delicious, and they are very warm and hospitable. And we really enjoyed, it would have been 2 years ago, we, as a family, spent a couple days in a few different places out in the bush with our people. And the girls loved that. They loved interacting, as you might see here. Oh, not sure why it's... This is this man. His name is Mali, and he's a brother to Amos. And actually, he was the first one that I met there at their place. And Amosi had actually been on a trip, and this is their grain storage there at their place. a very beautiful view of the mountain. This structure over here would be Amosi's house. He lives on the same compound as his mother. This is one of his sisters holding one of her, I think her little nephew. Actually, this baby died not too long ago from pneumonia. This is another dear family that we got to know. This is Heleni and his wife right here. Mama Membe is what we called her. And they had 10 children, and she was his only wife, which is very very unusual for a man of his stature. He was pretty well-to-do, and it's very unusual to find a man his age without more than one wife. This is Sarah in their cooking hut. Some of their girls. We had been teaching at Heleni's, but it seems like his interest waned in the message, and so we decided to drop. Although, yeah, our hearts still yearn for them. He had several workers that would come work his farm, and they seemed to have a real hunger for the word, but Heleni himself seemed to have didn't really have time for it. They here's the picture of his herd. He has quite a few cattle. Heleni. Very friendly man. And this is back with Amosi, one of his daughters. Her name is Kulwa. Some of his sisters. Oh, this is actually Amosi's wife here. We call her Mama Wuya. Brother Lawrence asked if I speak their language. I can greet them, but more than that, I haven't learned yet. I would love to. It's a very, very interesting language. They know Swahili, which is it's been a blessing to be able to preach and teach in Swahili. So most of these tribes here that we're working with, in our area at least, they have a pretty good grasp of Swahili. So I've been able to use that. Although some of the women probably and some of the younger children would not know any Swahili. It's not until they go to school that they learn Swahili. So some of the greetings, the Sukuma love greetings. They can... And they're very formal about it. While it seems like they're very informal people, their greetings are different. They really take them seriously. And if you come into their compound, the first thing you do is you don't greet them right away. You sit down and you start talking about the weather or just chit-chatting a little bit. And then maybe about 10 minutes later, or 5 to 10 minutes later, that's when you greet. When you've relaxed and you know, you've made that little bit of contact, then you greet. And if you're there in the morning, the greeting is Mwangaluka. And if you're greeting a man, you say Mwangaluka Vawa. If you're greeting a woman, you say Mwangaluka Mayo. And then the reply is Mwangaluka Vawa. Or Mangaluka Mayo, depending on the gender. So then you respond, Ulimhola, Moladu Wawa, Kayamwala, Moladu Wawa, Vanigene Vamhola, Valimhola Tu. So you just go back like that. How's your house? How's your children? How are you? So. They can go on like that for, you know, a minute or two, and just exchanging greetings, and they take that very seriously. Here's a little sample of That Amelie's place. His older lady in the video with the blue blouse on, she's Amelie's mother. She would be the matriarch of that little compound there. Very interesting lady. She's a lot of fun. At first, she was very skeptical of us. We told her that we were coming to teach the Word of God. And she said, oh, God never speaks to anybody. And so she was just said what she thought, and she was very almost antagonistic at first. But I appreciated that. A lot of times, they don't really say what they're thinking, and you know they'll just agree with you on the outside. But she didn't have any of that. She said what she thought, and she has a pretty sharp tongue. She really has warmed up and just really loves when I show up. And she's been listening and shown some hunger for the Word. This is Amelie, dear brother in the Lord now. He was the one that showed the most hunger and thirst for the Word. Just a beautiful, humble man. I got to spend quite a bit of time with him. Here he is again. If you think of him, Amelie, he's very young in the Lord. The last visit I was there is when we finished the creation of Christ and the gospel presentation. And he very simply just accepted, this is true, I believe it. As I finished the creation of Christ, I asked him, Amelie, do you believe these things? And up until then, you know, I hadn't taught about the death of Jesus or the resurrection, and that last time I got to visit there, I was able to present that to him. And I asked him, Amelie, do you believe these things? And he said, Noel, I've believed for a long time already. And I said, no, but you know, about Jesus, do you believe he came and died for your sins and that he rose from the dead? And he looks at me a little bit confused, and he says, of course. And that's how he's been the whole time. Just a beautiful heart of faith. The Lord really blessed that last time we were with him. He that evening before, it was actually the next day that I got to finish the gospel. That evening, he asked me, Noel, I have to ask you this. Why is it that when I start thinking deeply about what you've taught me and about God, why is it that I get such a heavy heart? And I was like, well, what is it exactly that you know, you start thinking about? And he's like, well, I just start thinking about how I've sinned against God and how I've broken his commandments. And I just get so heavy. And I was like, yes, Lord. And I just was explaining to him, that's the Holy Spirit. God is taught, he's revealing these things to you so that he can show you the answer. And the next day, he found out the answer, and it just came together for him. Our Tatutu people. This is the other tribe that we've been working a lot with. They are very different from the Sukuma, although their lifestyles are the same. Their personalities are very different. The Tatutu are more reserved, more more quiet. They're very tall. Most of them are. Mangola is very short for being a Tatutu. This is Mangola here. This would be one of their houses. Actually, this is when I made that trip up to Singida. That's their home territory. And this is the kind of houses they live in. This, I have to tell you about Asanati. She's also came to faith shortly before we left. And she's a single mom. These are all her children. She has this girl here in the green and this girl in the white are twins. This is her oldest son. And then her last little baby here, she named after me. If we can pray for her, she's struggling to make it with her children. She's been picked up and dumped by various men, and just has a real open heart to the Lord. She, very needy lady, but she's opened her home to us and to the Lord, and we would meet at her place, and I would take the gutta and make my rounds through the community there and pick up a load of children. We could pack in about 30 children onto that thing, and we had a real children's ministry going there in Chamsoga. Here's some of the children listening to me teach there. They love to learn the songs and listen to the Bible stories. Here we are pulling into Chamsoga. And here's a picture of Mangola's children and my children. They got to be pretty good friends. It's Maget, Hadija, Edward, Eliza, and Eva, dear children. Mangola and his wife and their little baby, new little baby. Just we had a time of dedicating him to the Lord, asking God's blessing on his life. More pictures of Mangola and his family. And here's my little namesake, Noeli. How am I doing for time? Am I going over time? Okay. So, we just loved going as a family and spending time with Mangola. We'd have a time of visiting and just chatting with them, finding out about their lives, and then we'd have our Bible lesson and then go home for the evening. This is Mangola's stepmother. She was also our milk lady. She brought us milk every day and didn't live very far away from us. Here's Vicky with Noeli. And I'd like to just show you some pictures of our family. This is one of my favorite things to do with my wife, is to go out preaching with her. Didn't get to do that very often, but it was a lot of fun when we did. My girls just love the village. They keep asking, when are we going to go back to Ivuna? And we did things, fun things. Whenever somebody sent over marshmallows, we were always game for a marshmallow roast. Sarah doing schoolwork with the girls. Sarah did an amazing job of teaching and running the house and reaching out to neighbors and children, and she had a very, very busy, fulfilling life there. Here she's doing hair for Ellie, teaching how to make bread. Ellie doing her school. This is shortly after Vicky was born. Here's us with our dear Tabby. We like to go out to market. Every month there was a village market that trucks would come in from town and bring all kinds of wares. And the night before market is when the trucks would come in. And so you had all these little vendors cooking food out there. So one of the fun things we like to do is go out as family and eat out at Wally Hut, which would be a rice hut. Leia loved going with me out into the bush. We had story time. And we had visitors. We always loved having visitors, especially when they put in such nice walkways. Thank you, Brother Earl. And we love doing fun things with them. Here we are on a little mini safari. Leia getting to go out to town with her dad. Having fun. Cooling off in the hot weather. Sarah, once in a while, gets to practice her midwifery. And here's a little baby that she helped deliver. We really tried not to do too much of that, but sometimes the government clinic, all the staff will be on holiday or gone to a seminar. And so many times they'll come to us if there's no one there. We try to send them on to the next bigger village, but if they're too far along and we think they can't make it, then Sarah steps in and saves the day. Our girls really loved their adopted uncles and had some pretty exciting times with them. And they loved playing with the wildlife. And it was really special to be able to take my children out with us teaching so that they would, you know, really feel a part of the work. It's not just daddy, you know, going out and, but they get to play a part too and be an influence there on their friends as they get to know the children out there. We had birthday parties, this is something Sarah's family did for us. They packaged all these little color-coordinated little bags and plates and balloons and streamers, and so we were able to make some really special birthday parties for our girls. Here's the birthday girl. And we also had some nice Thanksgivings. Here we are with the other missionaries in closer to Mbeya in Kiwita at the children's home. We enjoyed that. And about once a year, we get to go to beautiful Matema Beach as a family, spend a couple days there. Just a really beautiful place that the Lord has provided there. Love playing in the sand, getting in the water. Here we are having a church little. I think it's New Year's little feast there. And every so often, about every 3 months, we like to go out to Mbeya, and for some rest and time of regrouping as a family. We usually stay about 2 weeks out there. The climate is very nice, very cool most of the year, and we get to eat things like this. That's kind of a family tradition. We found this little burger shack that makes quite a decent American-style burger. So when we come in from Ibuna all tired and worn out from the journey, we usually put an order for these. Here we are on Father's Day. Another picture of a visitor and our tabby. And the girls had big brothers like Loti to play with them endlessly. Oh. Yeah, so... wish I could share so much more, but just wanted to give you a little picture of what our lives were like and what God is doing there. We really believe that He's been doing a work there, and we're meeting opposition now. Could I have the lights, please? Yeah, we had, you know, people like Amosi, people like Mangola, who are right there at you know, Amosi, he you know, came through. Mangola, I didn't have quite enough time to finish the Creation of Christ with him, but his heart is there. He's open. He's hungry. He has the call of God upon him to take it to his people. Early on, the Lord gave him a dream that people from a different area came and took him and his wife and said, come with us. They took them and they traveled and they arrived at a certain place, and there was a great crowd of people gathered there. And they took Mangola and his wife, and there was two chairs in front of this crowd. They sat them down and they said, okay, now please teach us the word of God. And ever since then, he's shown a passion that he has to learn this so that he can take it to his people. Mangola is fluent in 5 or 6 different languages. The Sukuma, he speaks it like a native. He speaks Maasai, he speaks Swahili, Sichella, and Taturu, Gogo, and I'm not sure which other ones, but... we really believe he will be a leader, I really want to, you know, pour myself into him and Amosi. And our vision is that, you know, there's so many hundreds of these compounds scattered throughout the bush. There's no way I'm going to have the time to reach everyone. And so our vision is that these men, I can disciple, and they can go out and reach others. And I can take them along with me and start in new places. That way, you know, the work will expand exponentially. And so they are my main focus right now, Mangola and Amosi, also in Chamsoga with Asanati, the mother there, and her children. There's also, it seems like she came to faith too, and really had an open heart. And so we really need to pray against the enemy. He doesn't want us there. And so I believe that's really the underlying reason why we're facing so much pressure. And why we were kicked out. So our vision in going forward, well, we're There's a lot of unknowns, but it seems like we're going to have to change our strategy a little bit just to be able to, for the government to accept us back. We might have to present more of a community help do a little more that way and have our teaching ministry on the side, which would, in reality, would be our main purpose, our main goal. But there are so many needs in the community for health teaching, for basic stuff that we would like to, like adult literacy is one of our dreams, is to be able to have a program for these adults who don't know how to read, don't know how to write. There are many who have come to me just begging me to start something. And looking down the road, you know, they need to know how to read if they're going to feed themselves from God's Word. And that would open a door into their lives. If you have them coming to your classes to learn how to read, you can teach them to read the Bible. You can teach them using Bible stories. And that's some of our vision. But it's kind of complicated to, you know, get something official to present to the government there. So, as I said, it seems like there's some motives of maybe taking over our properties or the water project. In fact, a few days ago, the regional commissioner, which would be like the governor of a state here, came with her convoy of cars into Ivuna and called a meeting among the villagers and said that she's taken over the water project and it now belongs to the village. And we're kind of in a crisis because if they're taking that drastic or making that drastic of a statement, it's really saying we don't want you back. And so we need to pray that the Lord would soften her heart, that she would hear from the villagers how much they appreciate us. About that, when she announced that she was handing it over to the village, she was met with silence. And that spoke a lot to me, that they were willing to put their necks out and show support for us. And I think it was, she had to step back a little bit, and she realized, you know, okay, maybe that doesn't make them happy. And so I think over time there's just misinformation coming from some of the village leaders. So hopefully the real picture, she'll get more of a real picture from some of the other voices there. So that's what we're praying. Please pray for Tim and Cheryl's eyesight right now. They're really going through a tough time. They had their baby 5 weeks early by C-section due to some complications. And she's really struggling, the baby is. Her name is Katia Grace. And the medical care is very basic there. Here, she would not be having a problem. But there, it's a struggle for her life. And he's also facing a lot of pressure with all the government stuff going on. Tim is just getting it from all sides. We had a good working relationship with the regional commissioner in Mbeya, which is actually a different region from us. However, that man was replaced by another man who seems to be showing the same kind of spirit towards us of suspicion, and just called Tim in again and started interrogating him over the same stuff. And there's that on his plate. And so if we could even now just stand and pray for him. Could I ask a few brothers to just lift him up in prayer? And also just the work in Tanzania as and our people, our Bush people there.
Lord, we pray against the power of the enemy in the lives of our missionary friends and brothers and sisters there in Mbeya, Lord, especially with Tim and Cheryl Zeissi. Dear God, that you would show your mercy and grace showered upon them, Lord, right now. And especially with the baby that was just born, Father, this life is in your hand. And we pray, God, that you would show favor and your mercy upon them, Lord, right now to bring healing, Father, if that's what you desire. That's what
yes,
you know, Father, that you would bring that to pass. And Father, we just trust you that you will work out something beautiful, even with this birth of this new child, Lord. Father, and I pray, God, that if they can find any medical help, that you would make that available to them, Father, to help this baby to live. And we just pray for Cheryl, Lord, that her health, having not been strong, God, you would especially give her the strength right now that she needs, Father, to pull through this trial of taking care of of her baby and herself, Lord. And also we pray against the enemy in working there with the government officials, what's on Tim's plate, dear God, that he would just have the attitude of trusting you and looking to you for the next step, Father, and not becoming worried and anxious for tomorrow, God. Give him strong faith in believing that you are with him and that you will guide him in these matters that are too big for us, Lord. We just trust you, our Almighty God, with these things. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Mike. You may be seated. So, we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all that you all have done, the part you have played in taking the gospel to that little corner of Tanzania. So many of you have given, prayed, shown concern and support, and have communicated by email and text and WhatsApp. And thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in welcoming us home. We feel so, so incredibly blessed to be among you and really look forward to getting to know you again and better. Unfortunately, we'll have a little break in our, we're leaving tomorrow for Washington. You can pray that we'll have good roads. So we plan to be back sometime early June. So look forward to seeing you all again, and may the Lord Jesus bless you. And it's good to be home. It's good to be with you all. We really feel you're our family, and just may God richly bless all of you for the part you play in this work. May the Lord be glorified. And amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Noel. Would there be any questions, real quick, that anybody would like to ask Noel? Mike has a question.
Okay, Mike asked about some of the women were wearing like a necklace with a little pouch on it. Yeah, that would be their amulet, medicine they would call it, but it's superstitious. It's they got that from a witch doctor to protect their health or whatever. Yeah. Any other questions, Tammy? There was a family that we had been visiting. We called them the American family. because the patriarch was called Marikani, which means America in Swahili. And so we would joke with them that, yeah, we're Americans coming to visit our people. And so they were a very open family and seemed to be very hungry for the word. So we had been going there for several months. But it came a time when she was actually a widow. Marikani had died several years back. But how it works there is when a woman is widowed, she gets inherited by a close relative. Kind of like what happened in Ruth, you know, with Ruth and Boaz. And somebody steps in and maybe doesn't, you know, live with her or marry her, but takes over, you know, caring for her and her property. And so the one who inherited her heard reports of us coming and teaching and put a stop to it and said he doesn't want us teaching until he can come and hear himself. Well, he never came, and we had to let that go. But from time to time, they come to the village, and we see them, and we greet them, and they ask us, why don't you come anymore? And I say, well, has, you know, the older man, has he come? And they say, no. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, well, if he comes, you know, let me know, and I'll talk to him. So that's been a while since we've been there. Any more questions? All right, well, thank you for your attention, and yeah.
Thank you.